let's get started. Okay, so it's Parsha Shmini today. So we read about the proper way to do Birkas Kohen, meaning Aaron HaKohen. It was the first one to ever duchen for Klai Yisrael. It's mentioned in the sixth Parsha, so I thought maybe discuss for a little bit, just had some halachas really Birkas Kohen, given that Pesach is upcoming. So we'll just discuss some stuff related to Birkas Kohen. So I guess to get started, let's discuss the minhag, or not so pasha minhag. Maybe we'll discuss the seder. What are the kohanim supposed to do? So the halacha, the Gemara Masechet Sotah says dafam ches, dafam tes. And when it comes to ritzei, so that's the call for the kohanim to go up to the duchen. Once they get to ritzei, so the kohanim have to do an akira. If a kohen doesn't go up to duchen at ritzei, so that's a problem. Meaning he can't. It doesn't mean he has to be at the duchen at that point. He just has to get up to get to the duchen. At that point, but if he's not at the duchen at Ritzei, if he doesn't start leaving to the duchen at Ritzei, then he can't subsequently do Birkas Kohanim. That's a problem. He's already up there. That's a whole separate shayla, but assuming that he's not up there, so at Ritzei, the Kohanim make an akira, they make their way to the duchen. Now, the reason why shuls have a duchen, right, it's called duchening. The duchening is called from the duchen itself, which is right in front of the shul. And the halacha is that Kohanim, when he does Birkas Kohanim, it's really supposed to be on an elevated platform. So, some Svartish poskim from like the 1600s, they passed Birkas Kohanim. If they said it's me'akif, if you don't even have a duchen from the shul, you're not allowed to do Birkas Kohanim. We don't pass them like that. I mean, we assume ikar din, even if there is no duchen, you're able to do Birkas Kohanim. But there are some shittas that assume that b'di'evin, no duchen, and no Birkas Kohanim. So we don't pass them like that. But just be aware. Fine. So Kohanim get up on the duchen. And then they eventually get to Birkas Kohanim. So when they get to Birkas Kohanim, so the Kohanim face they're facing the Aaron. So the question now becomes, that the Gemara Masechet Sotah teaches that when they do Birkas Kohanim, it has to be panu al panim. They have to be facing one another. So at what point do they turn around? Do they turn around before the bracha? Do they turn around after the bracha? Do they turn around in the middle of the bracha? So you have every single sheet to pass one of the sons. So the Rambam paskins that what you do is, you make the bracha facing the Aaron, and then after they make the bracha, the Kohanim turn around, not to the right. It says in Shulchan Aruch, when the Kohanim turn around to bless the people, they specifically turn around to the right. And the Shulchan Kamenetsky points out from there, actually, it's interesting. He says that's the only time in Shulchan Aruch that we find like such a part of the turn around, which direction you're supposed to turn. So he's not into this whole thing with Chadudi, Friday night, Boli Chalosh, you turn around to the right, to the left. He says, look, Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim have to get turned to the right. Doesn't say anywhere else or anything else, so we don't have to be so makbid, so Cohen can turn either there, or I mean, for Luchadori, for Nei, Kabbal Shabbos, turn whatever direction you want to turn.
Lulav,
people makbid on. Oh, yeah, that's sort of a Kabbalistic reason, yeah, for Lulav, but I'm saying turning your body is the only climb, because Cohen is the problem, but for anything else, it's not really such an issue.
Question about that.
Yeah.
Like, if, let's say they left their place, and
yeah,
during the time of Ritzei, they're like, I guess, waiting by the sinks, or they're walking back.
Oh, yes, it's a good question. Yes, so Yashu, Finkas Meik. I mean, even if they're not like doing an akira, right? I mean, even though they're not doing an akira to go towards the duchen, but if they're moving, if they're in the process of going to the duchen, even if they're not actually on, even if they're not necessarily sort of doing an akira, l'shem Birkas Kohanim, so that would also suffice. So that's what Rabbi Yashu paskind. Yeah, it's a good question, though. Yeah, okay, good. So back to our story. It's not okay. So our Kohen's facing. So the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah. This is the most Kohen do. So they say Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokim HaKolam, Asher Kidishanu, Mekdish Aso Asher Aaron, Vitzivanu. And then once they get to the word Vitzivanu, they turn around, they flip. They have to do a 180, then they start facing the Kohal. Right? They start facing everyone, and then they finish the bracha. Now there's also a big shayla about when, at what point do they do the Nesis Kapayim? Meaning, should they put their hands up before the bracha or after the, or meaning, is do they pick their hands up before the bracha or do they say the bracha first and then they pick up their hands? So it could be, the question is, how much do we view the Nesis Kapayim as part of the mitzvah, right? We know Birchas Mitzvahs, they have to be over L'siyasan. So is the Nesis Kapayim so important that we want even the Nesis Kapayim to be over L'siyasan? So it's a big shailen poskim, again, different minhagim about when to do that. Okay, so now the Kohanim have the hands raised. So let's maybe just discuss a little bit the concept and of Nesis Kapayim, because a lot of people don't necessarily do this, right? This is like the one number one thing about Birkas Kohanim that people get wrong, is had to do Mrs. Kapayim, and it is according to 99% of poskim and Akedah Raisa. So the only one who disagrees is the Shos Yaakov. The Shos Yaakov came up with a wild chiddush, and when the Gemara Maseches Sota says that the Kohen has to raise up his hands, that's only a smachta. But all the poskim are like, well, mehech desi. Pashas, the Gemara says, it's a real din, it's a real drasha, it's a din daraisa. So if a Kohen can't do Mrs. Kapayim, then the Rebbe Yehuda says he can't duchen. Can't duchen. No, he said, what about, can you like hold his hands up? Can you like chain his hands up and like have them be held up high? No, Dubihu says it doesn't work. If that doesn't work, actually, it has to be real in the Sisk of time. Yeah. No, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's a few things which are accurate. If a Kohen can, no, no one can hold up the Kohen's hands. If a Kohen is not able to pick his hands up above his shoulders, he's too weak, he has to leave shul. He has to make sure to get out of shul, because otherwise there's going to be a problem with a Kohen being in shul and he's not able to duchen. Now, it's important to note, though, the Ksav Sofer points out, that it's only actual during actual Birkas Kohen those hands have to be up, meaning, let's say, like, during the singing parts. Okay, so it's ideal, whatever, if he's able to, but if he's not, so during the singing part, then the Kohen can have their hands down. Even more, meaning, right, the Shech Sibor first is Makri, meaning he calls out the Birkas Kohen to Kohanim, so if really need be, you can have the Shech Sibor be Makri Birkas Kohanim, and then when the Shech Sibor was calling out the Birkas Kohanim, the Kohen's too weak, so he gave his hands down then. But when he actually says the Brach, he has to stick his hands up above his shoulders. So that's definitely Ma'akiv. It's not the only dim, it's just Ma'akiv. The other things which are Ma'akiv, the Gemara also learns out that Birkas Kohanim has to be done by Amida, has to be done standing. It's considered to be a form of Avoda. If a Kohen is not able to stand on his 2 feet by himself without any assistance, if he needs to lean or anything like that, it's also a problem. Right? Leaning is considered to be like sitting. If a Kohen can't stand up on his 2 feet, then he is not allowed to do Birkas Kohanim, and he should also leave the shul. And then the third thing, which is Ma'akiv, also the Gemara Maseches Sota says Lashon HaKodesh, you do Birkas Kohanim, a person can't say the Hebrew, he starts saying it in English or whatever, some other language, it's a problem. Yeah, that doesn't come up so much. And another thing which is Ma'akiv, though, is the Gemara says it has to be done Mikol Ram. It has to be done audibly. If a Kohen is not able to project Birkas Kohanim, right, he has a sore throat that day, he can't really speak. So it's a problem, he has to leave shul. He's not able to do Birkas Kohanim, because part of Birkas Kohanim is done by Kol Ram. Kol Ram, again, the post can point out, the Torah writes, it doesn't mean you don't have to use your outside voice. Right? It doesn't have to be shouting to everyone. It has to be done in a way that's able to be heard by everyone. Yeah.
Why does he have to leave the shul? Why can't he just go back to his seat?
Because the Kohen's being called to Dochen, but he's not able to Dochen. Meaning, if the person's a Kohen and not able to duchen for that reason, so then they should leave shul. They should leave because they have an obligation. I mean, there's a mitzvah on the Kohen to do Birkas Kohanim. If they're not able to do the mitzvah for whatever reason, so then we try to get them out of the situation. Yeah, they come back after. Yeah, they come back after Birkas Kohanim. But for the Birkas Kohanim itself, they should leave.
So they should, like, walk out of the shul?
Yeah, leave, walk out of the shul. Yeah, they should walk out of the shul. So, fine. So that's when it comes to, yeah, there's different things that are ma'akiv. Okay, so how high should the Kohen hold up his hands? So let's, okay, so the Kohen's up there. Another question is, how high should he hold up his hands? So, should he put his hands above his head? So the Gemara in Maseches Sota says there's a difference between the way they did Birkas Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. This is the way that we do Birkas Kohanim nowadays. So the way they did Birkas Kohanim in the Mikdash was that the Kohanim had their hands above the head. And they use the Shem HaMeforesh, right? But nowadays, outside the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Kohanim don't have their hands above their head. They're not using Shem HaMeforesh, so their hands don't need to be above their head. So can they have their hands above the head? So the Ravid says, yeah, why not? If the Mikdash did it with the hands above the head, so even outside the Mikdash, you can have the hands above the head. But the Ozeru and the Yireim, they say, no, you shouldn't have your hands above your head. Why shouldn't you have your hands above the head? Because like it's not Hider Mitzvah. Hider Mitzvah is that your hands are just above the shoulders, not above the head. So that's the most Kohanim do. For most Kohanim, that's what they do. They don't put their hands above the head. They just have it above the shoulders. The Rizal points out, though, based off the Kabbalah of the Rizal, the Kohanim are supposed to have their hands above the head. Right? The Kohanim are supposed to have all the hands above the head, which is what some of the Sfarim do. Now, in terms of how the hands should be positioned, so again, there's different. According to the Rizal, you have to have 10 separate fingers. You spread all the fingers apart. 10 fingers apart. That's not what the Rama brings down. The Rama quotes that you're supposed to, and also, this is what a lot of fighting do, that you make 5 cracks. So you want to have 5 cracks. So the Pasuk says, Meitzitz min ha-charakim, Kosh Baruch Hu is peeking through the cracks. So, hey, charakim, 5 cracks. So 1, 2, 5. It's a big discussion post-Kanigi. Connect the thumbs, don't connect the thumbs. So you have every single shita under the sun about connecting the thumbs or not. So different people do different kohanim do different things. So, whatever kohen does, it's going to be fine. The kohen should have his palm should be facing down, and the back part of the side of his hand should be facing upwards. So palm down, his hands shouldn't be facing upwards like during tefillah, rather it should be like flat, and his palm should be facing towards the ground, and his hand should be faced up towards heaven. And then they start the bracha of Birkas Kohanim. So that's sort of the position of the hands. So most of this is not me'akiv, it's only l'chachilo. What is me'akiv is that the hands have to be above the shoulders. Now, what about, let's say the kohen's shuckling. Let's say the kohen's like, you know, gets really into it, so the kohen has to be very careful. If the kohen's shuckling when he's doing Birkas Kohanim, and his hands are made above his shoulders at all times, because if the hands go below the shoulders, then that's going to pastures of shachtas. I'm active about this. It's going to passel the Birkas Kohanim. So kohen should definitely be aware of that if he's duckening. So, okay, so let's say you're Yisrael. Let's say you're an audience. So are you allowed to, like, check out the Birkas Kohanim, make sure you're doing it right? Or, like, should you make sure not to look? So this is, the Gemara says in Masechus Chagiga and Daf Zayin that person's not supposed to look at the hands of the Kohanim when they're doing the Avodah, or when they're doing Birkas Kohanim, because, like, the Shekhinah is resting between the hands. But the post can point out that it's really only Bezman HaMikdash, right? The only prohibition of really looking at the Kohanim when they do the Duchening is Bezman HaMikdash, because that's when the Shekhinah would last. So, that's not really a problem anymore. And then the second reason, based on the Gemara Megillah, is that we don't look at the Kohanim because it's just going to cause them to have Hesek Hadas, because meaning, if you're looking at the Kohanim, they're looking at you. So you're staring at the Kohanim, so they're not going to be able to focus properly on Birkas Kohanim because everyone's looking at them. So for that reason, that's why the Mishnah Masechus Megillah has, like, all sorts of akonas, all sorts of movement, all sorts of blemishes that passes him from doing Birkas Kohanim, because instead of being able to focus on the Birkas Kohanim, he's just going to be distracted by all the blemishes, or whatever. People are going to be distracted by the blemishes, and that's not a good sign. That's not good. Whatever. It's not good. So we pass our kohen has all sorts of movement from doing Birkas Kohanim. So for that reason. Fine. So that's the halacha. So meikar din is a person allowed to look at the kohanim if bezman hazor v'av mikdash. So meikar din, it's fine. So why is it that people don't do it? So the Magen Avraham says zeich l'mikdash. We try not to look at the hands of the kohanim the same way in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. So there's a question of a big shayla in Rishonim. Is it better for the kohanim to have their hands outside of the talus or underneath the talus? Meaning, probably I've never seen this in my life, but all the times I've seen Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim have their hands in the talus. But there's a big discussion in Shem. The Lavi Shem is that their hands should be underneath the talus. I mean, the talus is over their heads, but the hands are out underneath. Why would you do this? So there's also prohibition for the Kohanim to look at their own hands. So how do the Kohanim not look at their own hands? So they cover their face with a talus, and they have their hands out underneath. But then the problem comes, okay, but anyone who's in the audience is going to be able to see the hands of the Kohanim and might look at it. So for that, to combat that, some Daki Moshe brings down that the people would cover their faces with a towel so they wouldn't look at the hands of the Kohanim that were sort of out underneath the towels. So nowadays, though, it seems to be a little bit strange because kind of adapted two chumras. Meaning, not only do we have the hands of the Kohanim underneath the towels, but we even make sure that everyone else is covering their face with the towels. And this is, again, only a chumra to begin with, because Meikar didn't assume that it's no prohibition to look at the hands of the Kohanim Bezman is anyway, anyway nowadays. So okay, but that's what the minhag is. It's a Moshe Feinstein, right? So ideally, a person can, if he has a talus, whatever, he should try to cover himself up. But it's for sure not me'akev and playing rabbanim, try to look at the kohanim to see that, to make sure they're doing it right. A lot of kohanim don't know these halachos. If the kohanim's hands are not above his shoulders, he's not doing proper duchening. So certainly better for the rav of a shul who knows the halachos to be able to look at the kohanim to correct the kohanim aren't doing it properly. So, like, people are going to be doing their their Birkas Kohanim properly. So it's a, so therefore, people, it's not such a, you know, people don't have to make such a big deal about not looking or looking at the hands of the Kohan for Birkas Kohanim. Okay, any questions? Okay, yeah, I mean, there's not so much of it. I mean, yeah. Yeah. So what's that? No, because the Gemara says the Birkas Kohanim has to be upon him. So panim upanim means you have to face the kohanim. The kohanim have to face you. So if you're behind, meaning you're only including the bracha if you're behind, if you're behind the bracha. So if you're in front of the kohanim, then you're not including the bracha. So that's how you have to move. That's why the woman, the man, anyone, they have to make sure to move.
Down. I just look down.
Yeah, they have to move to make sure that they're included in the bracha.
They say not to go backwards.
Yeah.
Post can bring down the reasonalities not to look because of the Gemara and Megillah, that you shouldn't be looking at them to distract them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, it's not to distract them, but that's not really a problem because they're covered with talus. I mean, the halachas, the old mishnayos about a kohen has a mum and can't duch and can't. It's not practical. I mean, the shofar. They're passing halachas. As man says, since they're covering themselves with talus, it's not relevant anymore. No one's going to get distracted. Because no one's able to see the hands of the client, so no one can tell if there's a mum or not a mum.
Was the distraction just the mum and the hands, or it's also the kohanim noticing that people are staring at them?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there's a mum on the kohen's hands, that's going to cause everyone to start looking at them and give them strange faces, and that's not going to be a good sign. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, what? That's a good question. Someone asked me that today. Pashtus, no. I mean, there's no din of chatzis. I mean, for Netil Sidaim for Birkas Kohanim is ma'akev. If a Kohen doesn't do Birkas Kohanim, it's certainly a problem. I mean, whatever, you can rely on your Birkas. You can rely on your Netil Sidaim you did before davening, but for that, you can't have. I mean, then you run into all sorts of problems with chatzitza if you have the rings on. And I don't think for Birkas Kohanim itself, I don't think there's a halacha of having. I mean, it could be wrong, but I don't think there's a issur of having a chatzitza on your hands, or if someone has a cast on their hands, whatever, I don't think they have to take it off their Birkas Kohanim. What was I going to say? Oh, okay, so now let's say the Kohanim are up there, right? So they're doing the Birkas Kohanim. So what direction do they face? So the Shulchan Aruch, last halacha of Hilchos Birkas Kohanim, so Shulchan Aruch paskens that there's seven words that the Kohanim should sway from the north to the south. They should go from one side to the other with their hands. And the reason is because they want to spread the bracha to all sides of the shul. So when it comes to Yivarechecha, Yishmerecha, Elecha, Yichunecha, Elecha, Lecha, and Shalom, those seven words, the Kohanim go from left to right with their hands. They go from one side to the other to sort of spread the bracha from one side of the shul to the other. And the most people don't know about this because they don't actually see the Kohanim doing it, but yeah, if you ever notice, you'll see the Kohanim are sort of moving all around and doing the Birkas Kohanim. That's why sometimes the Kohanim need a little bit more space because they're not staying still, right? They're moving from one side to the other to sort of allow the bracha to be spread to the entire tzibur. Again, it's not ma'akev, so for whatever reason the Kohanim's not able to do it, then it's not the end of the world and he can continue with Birkas Kohanim. Okay, any questions about Birkas Kohanim? Okay, I guess maybe we'll hold it here for a proper hand placement for Birkas Kohanim, unless there's any other, I'm trying to think, any other halachas about where the hands need to go for the Birkas Kohanim. Yeah, again, also for Kohen, let's say Kohen doesn't have a talus, let's say Kohen has no talus, so halacha is they can continue doing Birkas Kohanim. I mean, Kohen has no talus, it's certainly not Aki if the Birkas Kohanim. In that case, I mean, if the Kohen has no talus, so then it could be Tzibur should try to make sure a little bit more not to look at the Kohen when he's doing Birkas Kohanim. But the Kohen also should have his eyes closed, meaning and when the Kohen's hands are underneath the talus, the Kohen can't look at his own hands, so he should close his eyes, yeah. I can't hear.
A 13-year-old is not
going to
have a talus.
So I'll borrow a talus. You can borrow a talus. Kohen, it's a big shayla. Can you make a bracha on the talus? Shayla Levi. Yeah, they can use someone else's talus. You can borrow a talus. No, he should have his own talus. He should have his own talus. But again, it's not such a big. It's not something which is an active Birkas Kohanim, the talus. So maybe just to sum up things which are active, because so what is an active Birkas Kohanim is. So smicha meaning amida, meaning the Kohanim have to stand. They have to be able to stand. If they're not able to stand on their own 2 feet. They need. And that's a problem. Again, they don't have to be able to stand for the actual brachos. So, meaning, let's say during the singing, they can sit down or lean, or in between the words, they can lean. Only for the actual Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim have to stand up on their own 2 feet without any assistance. Then the second thing, which is most important halacha of Birkas Kohanim people don't know. Right? It's called Nesius Kefayim, which literally means to lift up the hands. So that the hands have to be above the shoulders. Again, different shittas and poskim are part of the hand, but we assume, a lot of poskim assume that like the entire hand really has to be above, not just the fingers have to be above the shoulders. And then third, the Lashon HaKodesh, and fourth, that has to be done with Koram. That the Kohanim have to make sure that they're doing it in an audible voice. Right? There's no, you're not being a big onuv. If the person wants to whisper Birkas Kohanim, it's a problem. That's also an act of Birkas Kohanim. So Kohanim should be aware that when they're up there on the platform, that it's not like everyone in Shul has to be able to hear them. Right? Sometimes you have Birkas Kohanim and you have that one Kohen who's sort of the loudest of everyone. Right? You don't need to be that guy, but you certainly need to be, you certainly need to speak in an audible voice that everyone's able to hear you. Okay. Should we hold it here? Okay, good.